Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Voice of the Grizzlies and the Eric Hasseltine Show, where guests appear via the Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram phone line on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
The Memphis Grizzlies have traded Marc Gasol to Toronto Raptors for Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles. They also traded Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green to the Clippers for Avery Bradley. They also sent Shelvin Mack to the Atlanta Hawks for Tyler Dorsey. Sam Vecenie writes about the NBA, college basketball, the NBA draft, and all things basketball for The Athletic. He's also the host of the Game Theory podcast. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts can be found. Connor, make Sam the Q&A of the day.
The best in sports. Now it's time for the Eric Hasseltine Show Q&A of the day on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sam is available on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. He joins us now. Sam, let's obviously start with the first deal. The Grizzlies do send Marc Gasol to the Raptors. They're getting Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second-round pick. Was this a fair market price for Marc Gasol?
So it's hard to separate what this price is versus the decision to hang on to Marc Gasol in the offseason last year, right? Or
yes,
at the trade deadline last year, right? In terms of what they got right now in this marketplace, I think that it is fine. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it's a deal that you can totally rationalize from their perspective. Like, the other offer on the table was apparently a Charlotte Hornets offer, right? Where the idea was they would get a protected first round pick and they were haggling over the protections. And from what I was told, the Hornets were kind of balking at this being a lightly protected or even like a lottery protected first round pick. So I am I'm at a stage where I think it makes sense for the Grizzlies to go down this road. DeLon Wright, they're going to have to pay DeLon Wright this offseason, probably going to be worth something like $10 million a year, but he's a good guy to use with Jaren Jackson, help him develop down the road. He's older, a bit more mature. Jonas Valanciunas, it's a fine fit there if you want to keep playing Jaren Jackson at the four while he continues to fill out his body. He gives them another year of being able to do that. Maybe you can move CJ Miles down the road as well. Wing shooters are always somewhat coveted around the NBA. So in terms of what this deal is, sure, it makes sense. You get a far out second round pick as well. I get what happened here. I get why they would value this package versus a Hornets package. But it just seems like a missed opportunity to me in many ways.
Talking with Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. He's also the host of the Game Theory podcast. Go follow him on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. And then, of course, the other noteworthy deal, the Grizzlies have traded Temple and Jamichael Green to the Clippers for Avery Bradley. Can you help me make sense of this one? Because I got nothing.
Nope.
Good. At least when a smart person tells me that I'm not dumb, I appreciate that.
So, yeah, I don't understand this at all. I think that this was arguably the least sensical trade of the deadline for me. I did not understand in any way what they were doing at all with this. It's kind of bizarre to me that they couldn't have found a home for two guys that I think could enter a playoff team's rotation immediately. And look, the Clippers are obviously competing for a playoff berth still, even in spite of making some of the moves that they did earlier this week, such as the Tobias Harris deal. I still think they want to try and make the playoffs. But, you know, it's hard for me to believe that they couldn't get any draft capital back for these guys because, Avery Bradley is not very good right now. Like he has been genuinely pretty bad at basketball this season for the Los Angeles Clippers. And you could make the case that throughout the course of the early portion of the season, he was genuinely among the worst players in the NBA holding down a regular rotation spot. So, and this comes from someone that was a very big Avery Bradley fan when he was with Boston. I thought he was an excellent on-ball defender who could knock down shots, but you know, you're looking at a situation right now. He's sub 34% from three. He's 38% from the field. His defense has fallen off a little bit, and he's never necessarily been the best team defender in the world. So I don't understand what the deal is with this one.
Does it feel like to you that the Grizzlies made deals because they felt like they had to, primarily because of the backlash they received last year for not moving Tyreke Evans?
You know, I think that they had to make a Marc Gasol deal just because his player option is coming up and it was questionable as to whether or not he would pick that up. So this was their last opportunity, realistically, to make sure that they got something going forward into the future, parlay Marc Gasol into something. So I get that deal. I also get trading Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple. They are out of contract after this year. It's the same principle. If you can get something for those guys, you should go out and get something for those guys. I guess that they see Avery Bradley as a buy low that they can have on a $12 million contract next season as well. Maybe that's the idea here, but you know, I don't know that it's a situation where they had to make trades to make trades. I just think that in the case of that second somewhat less prominent deal, they just didn't make the right move.
Talk with Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. Go follow him on Twitter at @Sam_Vecenie. And then when you kind of look at the deals they made today, do you think it's a fair statement to say that the Grizzlies are prioritizing getting rid of the obligation to of the draft pick to the Boston Celtics? Because it feels like from, you know, from looking at it right here that these were moves that were trying to keep them somewhat respectable this year while not really signifying a rebuild immediately, but at the same time giving you some flexibility this offseason.
I don't really think that they did anything in regard to that, to be honest, because like on one hand you have traded Marc Gasol and you do get back three rotation players that will help you immediately. I still think that the impact of trading Marc Gasol is probably more than what the, you know, impact of these three rotation players will be. And then you also give up two additional rotation players and bring in Avery Bradley, who has been something below a replacement player this season. So I think if anything, this probably hurts their chances, but in terms of what their actual plan was, I can't really put my finger on it, because they were in a situation where if they did want to prioritize that and try and get some help this season, they could have done that pretty easily, I think. They could have decided to keep Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple instead of bringing in Avery Bradley. They could have you know, maybe even taken a more future or a more present value-based package for Marc Gasol than they did right now, though, like, this is a very present-based package at the end of the day, because, you know, this pick is protected 1 through 8, and right now you look at number 9, they're only 2 games out of that number 9 spot to protect this pick and get it, or to not protect this pick, I guess, in this scenario, and get it to transfer to Boston sooner rather than later. So, and then at the end of the day, we haven't even talked about Mike Conley yet. I still think he's a pretty big trade chip this summer. So, you know, you're looking at a scenario where they probably end up keeping that pick again next year. So maybe you try and just build a core of talent around Jaren Jackson, give up the 2021 pick to Boston or whoever has it at that stage, and just kind of go from there.
How surprised were you that the Grizzlies elected to hold on to Mike Conley?
Not super surprised, just because I didn't think they were as time impacted as they were with Marc Gasol. And given the offers that were reportedly on the table, you know, in Detroit's case, it was like Reggie Jackson and a first round pick. Maybe Luke Kennard was in, maybe he wasn't in. In Utah's case, they seemingly never put Dante Exum on the table for Mike Conley. So with that being the case, I kind of understand why they decided to hang on, because this summer there are going to be a lot of teams that have salary cap space, right? There are going to be more teams that have cap space than there were each of the last two summers, for instance, where the market shrunk a little bit after the huge cap spike. What was it? I guess it was 3 years ago now. So because the cap is going to spike a little bit more, I think that there will be more suitors on the market potentially willing to take 2 years of Mike Conley's contract on. Maybe that leads from the standpoint of there's going to be a bigger marketplace for Mike Conley, so we can find more suitors and potentially drive up the price. I can see a situation where that works out and Memphis ends up finding a better price tag for Mike Conley. But again, this comes back to the Marc Gasol thing. They do have to trade him this summer now, I think, to make sure that they get optimal value back for him.
Talking with Sam Vecenie. He, of course, writes for The Athletic, covering the NBA as well as the draft and college basketball. You can also go hear his podcast over on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts can be found, the Game Theory podcast with Sam Vecenie. And then one of the aspects that all these trades have done, they've now created roughly about an $8 million trade exception for themselves, they being, of course, the Grizzlies. Is that something that's worthwhile? Or because I'm struggling to make sense of it. I guess they got under the luxury tax, but, man, I'm kind of grasping for straws for these deals.
I mean, trade exceptions are always those things that general managers tout as being valuable and being a potential asset to the team, and then they end up running out at the end of the day. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's totally worthless, but more often than not, these trade exceptions end up just kind of not being as valuable as what people make them out to be whenever they're acquired.
What'd you make of the 76ers sending Markelle Fultz to the Magic?
Yeah, I liked it for both teams. Obviously, I think that, you know, Fultz had kind of worn out his welcome in Philadelphia. I think that the team was ready to move on at that stage from him. And with that being the case, I understand why they wanted to go down that route and just kind of decided to kind of, you know, move on and potentially get another rotation player who can actually help them right now in Jonathan Simmons, as well as a 2020 draft pick that will probably transfer. It's protected 1 through 20 for Oklahoma City. So I think it made sense for them. And if you're Orlando and you've been looking for a perimeter star for years upon years now, I think it's pretty hard to come up with a player with, like, more upside that was legitimately on the market for that price tag than Markelle Fultz, right?
Yes.
It's a reasonable move for them, I think, to take this risk. I think that you look and maybe this works out for Orlando, maybe it doesn't. But at the end of the day, again, you know, it's not like they're giving up the world here. This was an extra pick that they had actually acquired from Philadelphia before in a trade for Anze Pasechnik during the 2017 NBA draft, if I remember correctly. And it was a deal that Philadelphia had acquired that Oklahoma City pick originally from Oklahoma City for Jeremy Grant. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, shaking around assets and, you know, reacquiring them, getting rid of them. It's a move where I think it makes sense for Orlando to go down that road, though.
Is anyone in LA going to be taking a trip to New Orleans anytime soon?
I would guess no. I would guess no. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I was someone that said pretty publicly I felt that the New Orleans Pelicans should wait, even right after the Anthony Davis trade request went public. And this is what they're doing. They're going to wait to see if Boston can get involved. They're going to wait to see if New York gets the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, because I think that you can reasonably say that New York should offer that pick for Anthony Davis in order to try and, you know, bring in more talent via the free agency market. They would still have potential max cap space if they were willing to do that. So I look at all of this and I think it makes perfect sense the way it rolled out, because at the end of the day, the Lakers just don't quite have enough to where you can reasonably say we shouldn't at least explore our options during the off season when there are going to be more potential options on the table. It's a reasonable offer from the Lakers. I don't think that, you know, I think a lot of people kind of go and try and destroy that offer as worthless. I don't think it's worthless. I just think that it's not quite good enough to where New Orleans shouldn't try and explore their market later and then come back to the Lakers offer and make sure it's still there, because it will be still there.
How much stock do you put into the theory that the Pelicans publicly tampered against the Lakers? Because if so, you know, good for them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I you know, I'm someone who tries to empathize with the players as human beings. And, you know, that would be kind of a crappy thing to do if you were New Orleans. And I think it would really hurt your reputation around the league with players as well if you know, they kind of threw your name into trade discussions just to mess with an organization and made you kind of fret publicly where your future was. If I was the players involved, I'd be pretty pissed, to be honest. And I think that, you know, stuff like that would get around to other players and would make New Orleans a less desirable location potentially, but I would understand it to an extent. I mean, you know, this seemed like a clutch sports power play that has gone pretty drastically wrong so far.
That seems fair.
We can say that. Maybe it won't end up being that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, and maybe this will be a case where the Lakers are able to circle back. Maybe Boston ends up not offering Jason Tatum because Kyrie Irving leaves, and you know, maybe New York doesn't get the number one overall pick, and we're in a situation where you know, the Lakers offer does end up being the best offer on the table.
I'm wrapping up here with Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. Go follow him on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. Go download his podcast, The Game Theory Podcast, available iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts can be found. And then lastly, with Marc Gasol moving to Toronto, we saw a lot of the contenders in the East minus Boston today make moves. What does the addition of Marc Gasol to the Raptors mean for their chances the rest of the way?
Yeah, it's a really good question. How much of an impact does he make versus the two-headed center combo of Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas? Because I would imagine they're going to keep Pascal Siakam in the starting lineup. You know, I think he does make an impact for sure. Marc Gasol, I mean, Memphis fans probably know, has dropped off slightly from where his level has been over the course of, you know, his career. It's just been like a little bit of a gradual decline as he's aged, you know, from the incredible peak of his powers of being defensive player of the year. Defensively, he's just a little bit slower. His reaction time's a little bit slower. And, you know, that has been an impact on the Grizzlies. So I think he helps the Raptors for sure. I think that Tobias Harris is a bigger acquisition for the Eastern Conference race than Marc Gasol is. I think that might kind of put it into perspective a little bit, but he'll help Toronto. He's incredible at moving the ball. I think he's averaging more assists per game than any center not named Nikola Jokic right now in the NBA. He can shoot it a little bit from distance, and so he won't really change the way that the Raptors play whenever either he or Serge Ibaka enters the game. So, you know, anytime you have a floor-spacing guy who can come in and make really good passes and at least play smart positional defense, it helps. But, you know, maybe I don't know that it necessarily pushes them over Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference either.
Sam, you're great to join us. I know it's a busy day for you. We're very appreciative of your time.
Yep, anytime.
He is Sam Vecenie of The Athletic. We come back, we'll get into the headlines, we'll make way for Real Talent, The Gary Parrish Show. Stick around. You're listening to the Eric Kasten Show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.